Welcome to the Deadlock Podcast. This is episode number 10. I'm James, one of the co-founders of Deadlock, and joining me today is Tony, one of the other co-founders. We get a little more serious than usual at some points in today's podcast as we discuss the Jordan Miles situation, WWE allowing the workers to be held as pawns in some sort of big business game of chess with Saudi Arabia. At some points, we're not too serious as we talk about JR saying, wubba lubba dub. I think it's time to break all this stuff down. The boys are back in town, damn it.
Oh my god, it's Pickle Rick!
Ah, Szechuan Sauce, wubba lubba dub dub.
Shit, it's Pickle Rick!
That's all my friend asked me about that. He said, did the dude from the jumped on the McDonald's table show up? I'm like, damn, they should have got him. They're really into doing this. They should have committed. I'll never forget that video. Every time I think about that, that's all I think about. Is that dude just jumping on the
table. That sums up the culture of Rick and Morty for me right there.
Yeah, this week was an interesting week of wrestling between the Pickle Rick, Wubba Lubba Dub Dub on AEW, and then in WWE we had Triple H and his NXT brethren invading on SmackDown. It was something, and we're going to be talking about all that kind of stuff, and I think they had a pay-per-view, also the Crown Jewel thing. Did you watch that?
I caught the Fiend match because that's like really all I cared about. Actually,
the Fiend won. He won the match.
He did win after 30 shitty curb stomps, by the way. They did that gimmick all over again. So that move is just retired at this point.
Did they wrestle a regular match?
They threw him into like a light box and exploded, then fire, wow. Then the Fiend just sits up, and then Seth Rollins loses. That's it.
You know, part of me was kind of wishing they would just wrestle a regular match. Like, they go from a big cartoon mallet and death to just, like, wrist locks.
Could you imagine if they put on, like, it was like Ospreay versus Ricochet?
Yeah, they just have a regular ass, like, they go for a 5-star wrestling match. Yes, that's about the way to beat the Fiend.
Like, 30-minute rest hold on the Fiend?
Yeah, he just puts
the
Fiend to
go.
Sleep. That's what should have done.
Like, your regular Orton Cena match where Orton puts the headlock on for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it just sits on him. That's what he should have done. Yeah, wrenching it in real good. You like that, Fiend? He's like, no, I don't like this shit. I'll try to get home and watch the damn Saints.
You know what's fantastic is even after that, Seth Rollins still got booed in Saudi Arabia. Like,
he got booed in Saudi Arabia?
For the stomps, people don't want the Fiend to lose. They
was
do
he on
not
SmackDown
want the
this
Fiend
week?
To lose.
Or no, he's on Raw. Right? He's on
Fiend
Raw.
Is.
Who's on what show, dude? I don't know anymore.
The Fiend won the title. The Fiend is on SmackDown.
Right, that's
what
I'm saying, but the Fiend was on SmackDown already, but he won the Universal title, so he's on Raw.
No, he's on SmackDown, and Brock Lesnar said, this company sucks, I'm going to Raw. So they just traded titles.
How? Why? Why can't? Okay, you know what?
Because they mess up the brand split in 1 week.
That's what
in
I'm saying.
Week,
it took 1 week.
It's been 1 week since you fucked this up.
We need a music guy to make that. Pedro, get on that.
Yeah, Pedro, make some music.
It's been 1 week since you screwed up the brand split.
You'll notice it's me and Tony this week. Marcus has not returned because Marcus is in the middle of moving. He became the lead of digital marketing for the Washington Redskins football team.
You fucked it all up, James.
What do you mean? Is that not the team
you
did?
We were supposed to say that Marcus signed with the Redskins. Like, it was supposed to be a big deal, and people would think he's playing for the Redskins.
No one would have thought Marcus was playing for the Washington Redskins. He's the lead of digital marketing for the Washington Redskins. So if you see
a
bunch of
nose guard
fucking
chill,
wrestling memes on the Redskins Twitter, you know who did it. Just be aware.
If he doesn't do the Fiend in a Redskins jersey,
oh my God,
on that social media Twitter,
he needs to be an ally. If he does not go on Twitter and post about the Fiend on the Redskins, I will be so upset with Marcus. Oh my God, I'll be so upset. We had a couple of things happen this week also with Deadlock in general. One, we put up pre-orders for a new t-shirt that we were doing for Halloween. It's a Texas Deathmatch 93 shirt. And of course, you know what that means. Cactus and Vader. We talk about that almost every episode, it feels like. It's a really, really sweet t-shirt. So, it's a limited quantity. So we're not going to be stocking it any more than it's already stocked. So get your hands on it while you can. Pre-orders are up right now. We already had a ton of pre-orders, which was really, really cool. It's actually about to be the highest selling shirt that we've had yet. So that's like really, really
cool. Yeah, it's fantastic. And it's not just for Halloween. You can wear it for Christmas. Wear this
to
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, show up to Valentine's Day with your bloody ass Cactus Jack shirt. We ship literally
fantastic.
Anywhere too.
Yeah. I love it. The artist did a fantastic freaking job on this. Like, we asked for this design and like nailed it first go around. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was dope because he sent it over. He said, "You want me to change anything?" I said, "Don't you dare." Don't you dare, because it's really, really nice. So we actually already ordered the shirts. They'll be here soon. I put on the website that it'll take a few weeks to get the t-shirts, but it'll probably end up coming here even sooner than, you know, we imagine, just because I already put in the order and everything. So you can head over to shop.deadlightpw.com. Check that out. Like I said, we ship literally anywhere in the world, so it doesn't matter where you live. You live in the UK or Saudi Arabia or literally anywhere, it does not matter. you do whatever you want. You can pick a shirt up.
This is not just to do with like the drop. This is like a limited drop, so we also do have like a fall drop coming too.
Yeah, we're also working on new designs right now, so keep that in mind too for the future. Speaking of different shirts, also we actually have a few more shirts that we found when we changed up the shipping of the shirts. So like I have the shirts now here. I went in and did stock again, just kind of checking the inventory for the sizes. We actually found a few more short sleeve Tiger Mask shirts. A few people had asked me about it. We actually have a few more larges that I found in the box. So if you were trying to get a Tiger Mask shirt and you couldn't because it was sold out in your size, just be sure to check that out. And there should be a few more. I think there's only like one or two left. So, you know, check that out. Like I said, shop.deadlightpw.com. We got a lot of cool stuff coming. The merch is like a big deal for us just because like we just put a lot of thought and like time into it. We just want to make it the best we possibly can. And
because you need those cool wrestling shirts, because none of those nerdy ones with one liner text. This is cool stuff.
Yeah, no nerd shit. Okay, we only do Katniss and Vader shirts. That's actually our
our next drop is going to be Sans.
Yeah, Sans and Pickle Rick. Got to make a JR shirt with Pickle Rick.
Wubba lubba dub dub.
Say wubba lubba dub dub, JR. Say it. He got put on the spot by Excalibur, man. He said, "Say that shit." Ooh. Oh, speaking of Katniss Invader, also, Patreon's been updated quite a bit. We had all the Patreon stuff come through. And, you know, of course, I'm going to read off all the names this month, which
Let's
we
go.
Have. We have freaking over, we have 40 freaking patrons, which is kind of nuts. And we put up some really dope stuff this week. We ended up putting up a Hidden Gems video, which is from a recording we did that didn't make the air, where I talked about how me and Tubby, just the origins of the 24/7 Action Championship, some of the dumb shit we talked about doing and thought about doing. Like at one point I was going to have Tubby smack me with light tubes. That didn't happen. Thank God. And I talk about why that didn't happen. Yeah. I go about all that stuff. That's up there for literally any patron. So if you're in the $1, $5, $10, it doesn't matter. You'll be able to see it. Me and Tony also recorded a special video for the shirt drop where we watched a little bit of Halloween Havoc 93. We watched the Katniss Invader match. We watched the cold open with Tony Schiavone where he was like scaring a bunch of little kids. And we also watched where Vader spun the wheel and we try to figure out what the hell a Prince of Darkness match is. So I'm still trying to figure it out.
I'm assuming it's Ozzy Osbourne coming out and just...
We have to get Tony Schiavone to answer the question for us. Did you see on Twitter, he actually redid the cold open from Halloween Havoc.
I did see that.
That
was
actually insane. I popped so hard for that. I was like, holy shit, I can't believe he just did this. It was really, really good.
You don't give us something better. We're leaving.
You guys have to watch that video, man. If you become a patron now, you know, next month, next week, the video will be there for you. Just hopefully you get a chance to check it out at some point because I think it was a really, really funny video.
It's the $1 Patreon tier. So like literally anybody can get it for just a buck. You can't find that.
That's
you can get a cup of Joe for a buck anymore.
You can't. You really can't even get
it. You can go to Deadlock on
anymore.
Patreon and get your exclusive content.
Yeah, patreon.com/deadlockpw. You can head over there. Really quick, I'd like to give a shout out to everybody who stayed patrons or became a patron this month. I appreciate
Woo!
You guys.
Yeah, let's
you
really go.
You helped make this happen. So thank you. In the $10 tier, we had Blake Xavier, Brooks Nose, Cherry Chase, Corn Dog, Dada Too Toxic, Dylan McNeil, Good Crescent, Just Omega Man, Levi Hollowich, Mike C, Nick Jai, Teeny Weenie Boy, That King for a Day, and X Jag. I appreciate you guys. We had a couple in the $5 Becoming Deadlock tier, which was Dylan Adams, Jose Garcia, Julian Bolin, and Slick Johnny. And of course, at the $1 tier, the Support Deadlock tier, we had Akai James, Austin, Big V827, Buttercup 3, Chicken Nugget, CM Razor 3, Christian Valencia, Dustin Johnson, Jalen Carter, James Hodges, Josh and Bowling, Marcus Brown, Matt Cook, Mont Sexton. That is such a great name. Nermian, Nicholas Wheeler, Schmitty Harry, Schmitty, Tigerman 66, Yodi, Yurei Otaku, Zach Draw, and Zekro. Thank you guys so much, man. Like I said, you guys really do help this happen, and I hope that you get something or feel good about doing it. We had a couple of gimmicks that I get to read to Tony that I made up here. They're great.
Ooh, let's go.
Yeah, so I got a couple of gimmicks here for people that became $10 patrons. If you become a $10 patron, that's one of the gimmicks you get. You get your own gimmick on the air.
It's a gimmick.
Blake Xavier, Good Crescent, and Michael Robinson. So I had to come up with a few things here. And like I said last week on the podcast, Blake Xavier was always going to get an X-Men gimmick, and that's what I gave him.
Let's get it.
All right, so Blake Xavier, his gimmick is Professor Charles Kirby. You know where I came up with that name? Professor Xavier from X-Men.
Yeah, so Kirby is your favorite video game of all time.
Well, that, I guess. But Jack Kirby drew Professor Xavier. He helped Stan Lee come up with it, so...
Stanley.
So Professor Charles Kirby, his finisher is the X bomb, which is an iron claw bomb. Ooh, here's his backstory here. A once talented science professor, Charles Kirby decided that he wanted to take his life down a different path after getting ridiculed by kids every day about being a big ass nerd. After attending a local professional wrestling event, Charles signed up for classes where he learned the trick of the trade. Now one of the smartest men in the business, along with his slick tongue and charm, Charles Kirby can talk his way out of anything and fight his way over anyone with his X-bomb finisher.
Ooh, all right. I love it. Love it. That's hot. The X-bomb, though. That's the move right there.
That's that good shit. We had Good Crescent. His gimmick is Dirty Philip Belmont. His finisher is the knee to face, which is the Busaiku knee that Daniel Bryan does, or as Xavier likes to call it on AEW, the sexy Chucky knee. did I ever tell you about the sexy Chucky knee?
I don't know.
I don't know if I ever linked you to it or not, but Excalibur would always call it the sexy Chucky knee, and Trent hated that he called it that. And he's like, can someone tell Excalibur to stop fucking calling it the sexy Chucky knee? So Excalibur on AEW, it's a sexy Chucky knee. And that is why he calls it that.
And then Jim Ross is like, what are you talking about? Don't use that word.
Why is he not going for the pin off the snap suplex? JR, can you please let the boys just work? Please. All right, so Dirty Philip Belmont. His backstory. Philip grew up in a middle-class household, but Phillips was always down with the motherfucking streets. With his skateboard and his JNCO jeans, Phillips set out at 18 to find his own calling in life. After tagging up a building one night with a big-ass penis, Phillips saw a flyer for pro wrestling school. He got his nickname Dirty because he does what he needs to do to get the win, and whether that be cheating or straight-up cheesing countouts like a big-ass loser, Philip Belmont does what he needs to do to win a match.
I love it, dude. I don't think the count out is underutilized in pro wrestling. Why don't more people go for a count out?
Because they see everybody online in WWE 2K do it, and they're like, this fucking shit.
I would. I'm going to be a wrestler where I just throw people out of the ring and try and get
anybody count out. Yeah, that's a big heel thing. I think that could really get over. Like, you just get them out.
Especially if you're champion.
It.
Bro.
Yeah, why don't yourself they out. They should do that in real life. Like, people, they should throw them out of the ring and then, like go for the count out. They get back in the ring. You stay out of the ring, and then you just cheese taunts. Just do the
cactus.
Do the cactus arm or the throat cut one where you just go, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The cactus arm. Except one time you accidentally go, ooh, and set yourself up for disaster.
Oh my God. If Kenny Omega's gonna, if his new gimmick is big gamer loser nerd, he definitely has to do that where he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Cactus taunt, cactus taunt, cactus taunt. That would be so cheesy, dude.
You should literally do a Apex tournament to find a tag partner in AEW. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, he's already all in on the whole big nerd loser geek gimmick, so he might as well keep going. All right, and the last guy, Michael Robinson. His gimmick is Out of Time Mike Fox. His finisher is the Blink Driver, which is a Michinoku driver. And his backstory is Mike Fox is always out of time. Whether it's trying to finish a test in school, trying to take a shit before work starts, or trying to finish a match before the time limit, Mike Fox currently holds the world record for most time limit draws in professional wrestling. Because every single time he tries to hit the Blink Driver, he's just out of time, Tony. Till this day, no one's kicked out of it because time doesn't allow anyone to kick out of it.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
Procrastination.
Got like a one of those glasses that you turn upside down and that's his Tron.
Time's the hourglass.
Yeah, the hourglass.
Got one of them glasses.
Well, I couldn't think of the name of it. Shut up. He's got to have a knife too, right? Something. Doesn't everybody have a knife? Out of time, time's up.
What do you got there? A knife. No.
I'm about to spit on my drink.
Everyone's got a freaking knife.
You're going to die.
All right, so can we talk about AEW first, man? Wubba lubba dub dug. Pickle Rick is JR.
Pickle Rick. It was Pickle Rick night at AEW.
AEW, Pickle Rick. Oh no. They had a little mask and everything. They had Morty and Rick mask. They had the best friends come out. As
Justin Roiland on commentary going, oh, this is Pickle Rick.
Pickle Rick.
Whatever his means.
Yeah, what is going on here? But I will legitimately say that JR saying Wubba Lubba Dub Dub was maybe top
that
five.
That was fantastic.
This week.
And Excalibur was like, I got to get him to do this. Like,
they definitely said Excalibur say Wubba Lubba Dub Dub, and he went off script and said, no, JR.
No, I'm guaranteed it was like Kenny and Cody and all them were like, you got to get Jim Ross to say this. And they're like, just slide this over and tell him to say it.
JR's reading off the sheet. Wubba Lubba Dub Dub. Oh, that's perfect. Thank you so much. And now that'll be a soundbite for the rest of his life that he'll never be able to escape.
That was fantastic, though.
Of course, it was during the
Best Friends match, so that was fantastic, too.
Yeah, it's even more funny because the Best Friends shit on all sort of sellout shit like that in wrestling, and then they get the Best Friends to do that. It's like, welcome to the big times, Chucky!
Even Orange Cassidy was in gear for it, dude.
Yeah, I was like, okay. I mean, I didn't hate it. I thought, you know, it was funny because it was self-aware of how dumb this whole thing is, you know. I thought it was whatever. It was okay.
Well, it did remind me that show's coming back because I totally forgot. Because
I haven't watched Rick and Morty in a while, man. I think I stopped watching it after Dude Man jumped on top of the counter and said, "Pickle Rick." I said, "That's it for me. I'm checking out. I'm checking out Rick and Morty."
I'm gonna go now. I'm gonna go.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna head out.
You could just binge it on Hulu if you care, but if not.
I mean, I mean, I have to. I got to get my IQ up, so hopefully I can get through that. AEW over here. They announced, by the way, we talked about this the other week. They announced Rick and Morty before they announced the women. Isn't that great?
They
signed a new woman, and they didn't even announce that she was going to be on the show. They didn't even announce that. I'm like, what is going on? Yeah. But they're like, Pickle Rick, Pickle Rick. Like, I think there is a conversation to be had about how AEW is presenting the women's division when they're, instead of announcing this new person they signed to a 3-year deal versus a woman that just moved
to
America.
It was like a casual tweet. It was just a casual tweet.
Hey, check it out. She's about to wrestle. And the whole show, they're like, Pickle Rick! There's definitely a conversation to be had about the women's division and maybe what's not happening here.
To be fair, Tony Khan spent a lot of money on those contracts that he signed these people to, so he's gonna have to sell out a little bit here to do the Pickle Rick and the Jay and Silent Bob.
Jay and Silent Bob stuff. I almost forgot about that completely until you just mentioned it. I saw that Kevin Smith, I saw he posted something on Twitter about Spider-Man. I think he said that MCU Spider-Man is better than the Sam Raimi Spider-Man. Which is just fucking wrong. I mean, it's just wrong. Right? I mean, that's just wrong. I mean, like, we're just lying on Twitter, I guess, is what
Spider-Man
we're doing.
Spider-Man 3 is the greatest movie of all time. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies are incredibly better than the shallow, fucking forced Spider-Man MCU garbage. Ooh, we're going to build a world.
Ready.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, look, pedestal here, dude. All right, let's look at it. Let's look at like a scale. One had Bonesaw, one did not. Like, what else do you need? Like, do you need one had Bruce Campbell, one did not. Like, what else do you need here to for me to explain to you that the Sam Raimi joints were better than, you know what I mean? Kevin Smith, yeah. You're not allowed to be back on AEW, buddy. So enjoy. and you got blacklisted from WWE because you went to AEW. So have fun in limbo. You're never going anywhere, buddy.
He'll show up in NWA. It's going to happen.
Oh, God. Yeah, he'll show up in NWA and he'll talk about comic books and then Nick Aldis will kick his ass. That ain't a manly thing to talk about now, brother. Get some peach fuzz. That's all I think about when I watch NWA is like they're about to start cutting. If they don't
Bunch
do a
man
Manscaped,
doing men stuff, dude.
If they don't do a Manscaped promo on NWA, that is such a missed opportunity for them. Especially because Manscaped is going to literally everybody right now and saying like, hey, like you want to do a crossover? If NWA doesn't do a shave your balls gimmick on the TV show, they have
That's right up Tim Storm's
on.
Alley, dude. Tim Storm shaving his balls.
Tim Storm loves shaving his balls and teaching kids. Oh, and wrestling, I guess. He likes that a little
if
bit.
We just
too.
Give Jim Cornette the read. I'd love that. Please make that happen.
Jim Cornette.
Let him read the ball shaving. It'd be
Someone's
fantastic.
Someone's got to read it. How about Eddie Kingston? That'd be cool.
Let's do
hey,
it.
Partner. Shave your balls. Oh, as soon as Eddie Kingston. He's talking about his balls.
Yeah, a great sounds show. About right. Sounds about right.
So we had Pickle Rick on AEW. Speaking of the women's division, we also had Hikaru Shida coming over to the United States. She now lives here. I'm not sure if she got a house or if she got an apartment or whatever the case may be, but she has a long-term deal with AEW.
Trying to dox her?
Yeah, yeah. We got to figure out the information. Where you Get at? Bix. Bix. We need the information. So Hikaru Shida's in the United States now. She's on a long-term deal with AEW. I'm not sure that means that she can't take any Japanese dates because Kenny Omega was just on DDT Ultimate Party the other night. And they also have a working relationship with DDT. Not that Hikaru Shida worked DDT a lot or anything, but like there's a possibility for her to work with, I guess, AEW companies that they're partnered with. So she could
do
that.
Yeah, it's probably the partnered companies, I'm sure.
She does Makai, which is a almost like a play with wrestling, which is pretty interesting. Okay. You can watch that on YouTube. She could also, I think she can still do that. But of course, AEW has to take priority over anything that she does. So Hikaru Shida faced Shana. I know that she works Stardom. That's pretty. I haven't even seen too much from her Stardom run. I just know she was there. And I know that I remember her being in TNA for a small bit of time. She was actually, she was pretty solid. The match was good. The match that they ended up working on TV. You know, I didn't expect it to go that way. I didn't even know they signed her. I don't know if they signed her before the show or after the show. But she ended up signing full time and they announced it after the match. I expected Shida to just barrel roll through her. I thought they were going to build, you know, like build her up and like, just
yeah,
like
yeah, right,
let
right.
her smack her around a little bit. That didn't fucking happen. They went like pretty long. Was it a 2-seg match? I mean, I remember there was a commercial break in between at least once or twice.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Crowd once again, like the crowd translations. So that's going to be the roughest thing for them is like, AEW doesn't present their women's division as like a, they definitely don't present it on the same level as any of their other divisions, period. And you set that precedent for your crowd. And then like there are, they already know that this doesn't matter as much as your tag. Yeah. Doesn't matter as much as, wubba lubba dub dub, Orange Cassidy.
So. We didn't even know there was a new woman signed until after, you know.
Yeah,
so.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't say anything. They literally posted a tweet right as they went to commercial before the match. They said, Hikaru Shida's up next on Twitter. It's like, dude, okay, so you didn't announce this before the show. You didn't announce this at the beginning of the show. That was the biggest thing is they didn't even announce it at the beginning of the show. They announced it right as it was happening. And it's just like, you have to set like a precedent for these women to where like they mean more than the way that they are right now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they're like they feel like an afterthought in AEW.
Yeah, and I don't know if that'll change. You know, they're in an interesting position right now where like Riho's working Japanese dates quite a bit. She's a champion in Japan also. Mm-hmm. Shida wasn't moved to the United States yet. You know, obviously there's some things, especially because I think they're going to run the division around Riho and Shida for the most part, and Awesome Kong. Because you saw Brandy acting like a witch, right, or whatever. She was like, what the fuck was that?
Well, the other week she was like...
Yeah, that was awful. That was the worst thing I ever seen.
And now she's like putting on makeup or something. What was she doing? She was like, I don't know what she was doing. It was wild.
Yeah, it seems like she's kind of transitioning into a manager position for Awesome Kong.
Yeah.
Which is probably best case scenario if she has to be on TV. Like, if she absolutely has to, then like that's better than her working, right?
I feel like they were trying to build around like Kylie Rae and stuff, and then she left for whatever reason that was. So that was going to be like their main focus probably. And then Britt Baker now, which I don't think is delivering at all for them.
Yeah, no, I don't.
So
I think they
maybe
pivoted,
that's just
honestly.
What it, maybe they're like pivoting. They're kind of like, we got to figure out what this women's division actually is.
That's not
because we were going to do Kylie Rae. She left. Then we got Britt Baker. I guess we got Brandy. What are we going to do? And then they're just like, all right. So I'm thinking once they figure it out, and they get like all of it taken care of, like it'll be better. But for now, they're in like a growing pains, I think.
Yeah, I think that is a very good way to say it, that they got a little too big for their britches a little too quick, maybe. And like, I mean, the tag thing that we had later on in the evening was cool. Don't get me wrong. Like, that was dope. The main event scene right now with the Inner Circle and stuff, that's dope. But like, it very obviously... Do we have a lag behind for whatever they're trying to pull with the women, right? I mean, like,
very exactly.
Obviously. So it would be cool, like, because, I mean, I genuinely tune into this show to see what, like, Hikaru Shida and Riho are doing, or if Yuka Sakazaki, you know, she's coming back in December, it seems like. By the way, Yuka Sakazaki won the Princess of Princess Championship last night at DDT Ultimate Party, so she could be coming back to AEW with that championship. So that's
pretty
dope. Yeah, that match she had last night was fantastic. And like Yuka got over on AEW almost immediately just by existing. Like, it was kind of crazy.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. She just was there, and it's just, I don't know. There's some like X factor that a lot of these women have, that AEW has a good women's roster. They just need to not shit the bed with it like they're currently doing.
I feel like they're on like limited dates with a lot of these women, and when they figure all those dates out, they'll be like, all right, so now we're good.
Well, what did they say when they first started? They're like, well, you know, the Young Bucks will book the tag team division. Cody will book the heavyweight division. And it's just like, Kenny will keep up with the women's stuff. And it's just like, I feel like, Kenny, what are you doing, man? I feel like you're letting me down over here, Kenny.
Got to play Apex. It's
Kenny got caught up in a duos game. He said, I don't know, man, Twitch Rivals is coming up. I just can't book this women's shit. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what's happening here.
So yeah, definitely the Bucks have been taking care of that tag division very well. Very well.
I feel like we've had infinite tag team matches. Infinite. Like every week.
Wasn't last week all tag matches?
Yeah, it was pretty much all. It was like they had, I think the only one that wasn't was Moxley and Pac.
Yeah, I think that
was like one of the only ones they had. So it's just like, all right, bro. If we could have like multiple women matches on the card, like, you know, Shido in one match, Riho, like, you definitely have the talent there to do it, you know what I mean? Like, I definitely wouldn't put,
yeah,
like,
they do.
I wouldn't, like, I mean, you could tell. If did you watch AEW Dark the other week?
I missed it last week.
Okay, yeah, so they had a fatal four-way between Amy Sakura, Sadie Gibbs, Allie, and I already forgot who else it was, but anyways, the big deal here is Amy Sakura was on the card. So they, like, she was working a lot of AEW dates, and you have the talent here to do this. Hell, you have a free go-to championship match, just Riho and Amy Sakura, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you trained her, just fucking throw her in a singles match and call it a day. Just have her attack her in the back and then just have a fucking match. It's like the match is there and Kenny knows is there, and it's just like they just didn't do it. I'm just like, okay. Which is why I think they don't have any long-term plans with the women's division yet.
Is the match at Full Gear? Is it, what is the
have
women's
they even
match
announced
at?
One?
Do they have? Is it
it's next week,
Baker?
Isn't it?
Is it Britt Baker? Do they not? Yeah, it is next week.
It is on the 9th, Saturday.
It Britt Baker? I'm confused. I don't know.
I think
it
they
is.
Dropped the Aja Kong and Awesome Kong thing. I haven't heard a single thing. We saw Awesome Kong on TV, but I haven't seen anything else.
Maybe there was contract. I feel like there's a lot of contract. I don't know. That's just what I'm thinking. I don't know. Yeah, the only matches they have is Jericho, Cody, and Moxley Omega, so I don't know what else they got on the card.
What is this card, bro? You got to flesh this baby out quick. You got to go. I mean, this is in a week, man. It's in a week.
They have a they have a tag match as well. Young Bucks and
Young Bucks and Proud and Powerful. That's one.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. Yeah. But they don't even have that on their website yet. So
update your website,
Fantastic.
Tony.
Fantastic.
Update your website, Tony.
On my website.
Speaking of JR and his Wubba Lubba Dub Dub, that was a highlight of JR all evening with him saying Wubba Lubba Dub Dub. The rest of the evening was JR questioning every single wrestler. I was like, dude, I got to mute the fucking TV. He did not, like, every single match, he was questioning wrestlers. Why are they doing this? Why aren't they pinning them here? I'm like, you're not, like, they're not getting over from this. No one's getting over from this.
Excalibur was throwing it in, too, though. He was, like, jumping in on the JR banner. He's like, oh, yeah, you're right. He didn't hook the leg. He should have hooked the leg.
It's just like, that never happened in WWE with JR. Like, JR didn't spend any WWE match questioning Bret Hart. He didn't spend anything questioning what Val Venus was doing, shaking his ass and showing off his penis. Like, he never questioned that once. It's just like, I won't forget that private party of Lucha Bros shit where JR literally just spent the entire match just going, oh. It's just like, bro, put this shit over.
It's because he doesn't actually enjoy it. And you can tell when he doesn't enjoy it.
You can tell he doesn't want to be there for any of this shit. And like, he'll tell you 100 times over that he does and that he really cares about this shit. But like, you know, actions speak louder than words, my brother. You know what I mean?
He don't care. He don't want
it. You get on TV and it sounds like shit. And I'm like, okay, well, if you don't fucking care, then like, this is just drain the energy from this match. I wish these companies would have a feed with no commentary, period. Or maybe an Excalibur and Tony Schiavone only feed.
Schiavone was not there half the show. He was in a limo with Cody the entire time.
Yeah, that was weird. The fake taxi. The fake taxi is going to blow him.
it was weird. Really weird audio as well in that taxi. So it was like,
I didn't even know. Was that on TV or was that like commercial break?
No, that was on TV.
That whole segment was on TV where they were just talking in the back of the limo.
Yeah, it was like they would cut. It was like throughout the night kind of thing.
He's like, yeah, I saw your daddy butt ass naked, Cody. Yeah. I was like, yeah,
that's literally what happened. That's literally what happened.
I was like, damn, is this commercial or no? I was like, because I was watching the Fight TV feed. So I was like, I didn't know if that was on TV or not. But he was just like, oh, Cody, I don't know daddy was butty naked. I was like, damn,
he was literally saying that. Yep, it was, that's what it was.
Yeah, that was weird.
He was talking about his dad being naked.
It was weird.
Oh, that's hot. That's hot. But seriously, that was, it was a weird, but I don't know. I didn't really like it, to be honest.
I didn't hate it, but I was just confused. I was like, huh.
It was just very odd to me, to be honest. I was kind of like, all right, I guess this is what we're doing with this segment. They're trying to like build it as like this serious thing, like this big serious angle. I'm like, yeah.
That's fine. I mean, I'd rather them take it serious than not take it serious. So whatever.
I guess that's true. That's their main.
I mean, not everything's going to come out great, but like at least they're trying to take it serious. So I mean, it's better than nothing.
And then I guess we can continue to talk about it. How like they bamboozled Jericho him later. And then Sammy Guevara was backstage.
This dude, Sammy Guevara, he's straight from Bang Bros, dude. He came from fucking all the MILFs and now he's here on AEW TV.
They call him, did you realize that they call him Spanish God now, not Spanish sex god? So he's just a Spanish god.
Yeah, that shit pisses me off, dude.
Pisses me off.
I'm
going to
see if I can find, I wish I could pull it up on Discord without it disrupting the video thing. But did I link you to the picture of the Bang Bros dude? That I said with Sammy Guevara?
I don't think so.
God damn it. I wish I could. Dude, don't look it up first off because you're just going to get porn.
I thought Bang Bro, Sammy Guevara, and then
I have a picture on my computer of this dude from Bang Bros. I'm like, dude, this is fucking Sammy Guevara. You can't fucking trick me. I know this dude is plowing MILFs and coming to wrestle afterwards. I'll show you after the...
We had Sammy and Jake Hagar. We're beating the crap out of Dustin.
Hey, threw his head up against the car.
And then they slammed the door in it, and then he had a real cast on. I wonder if his arm was actually...
JR was awful in this segment too, yeah? He's yeah, like, probably. Oh my God, they're attacking Dustin. They're attacking Dustin.
Dustin is getting attacked.
Yeah, I'm like, this, bro, can you like, do you have any emotion left in your entire body? Like, is there any, like, can you like not raise your voice at all anymore?
In the SmackDown Mall.
Yeah, he's like, oh, he left a head mark there. Look at that now. Left a head mark on the car. I'm like, okay, this is weird. But yeah, I mean, like, that's like, I really don't have anything bad to say about the show most of the time other than like JR on commentary, which I don't know how anyone can like what he does on the product right now.
Right.
It's just really, really bad. I mean, like, I still think JR can bring something, but like, he obviously isn't. And the women's stuff. I mean, the rest of it's pretty good. I mean, Kenny coming out as Cheyenne Drum Undertale. Oh my God. That shit was,
I did like Moxley stuff. Did you like the Moxley stuff? I thought it was pretty interesting where they're like, Moxley's like talking with Tony Khan backstage. Did you see that part?
I didn't see. Oh, whoa, where he was in the room with him.
Yeah, and he's like, why am I put in this stupid box and my match doesn't matter because it's a lights out match and this is stupid.
I did like that.
That was really
good. And his promo
kind of making, yeah, they're kind of making Moxley like, oh, well, you're this kind of stupid guy that you were in WWE. And then Moxley's like, no, I'm not. And
yeah, I actually really like that a lot where like he came to AEW because he didn't want to be put in a box. And now they're trying to put him in a box, too. And he's like, I'm not being fucking put in a box. Like, I think that's a really good angle to throw with him.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And it's cool, like, a little spin out. He's like, I don't want unsanctioned match because wins and losses matter, and I want to have a record in this company, but if you keep putting me in these matches, I'm never going to have a win-loss record.
Yeah, Tony Khan was like, well, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, you're just not good for business. It's like, oh, yeah, all right. We're running this angle. All right.
That was good. I liked it. And then he comes out and cuts his promo. And
yeah, the promo was really, really good because he looked disheveled as hell. He just was like, he was ready to fight somebody right then and there.
Beating up Peter Avalon.
Yeah, hey, Peter's the dude, man. I'd say put him into a high profile angle. I mean, drop the Leva Bates thing and let Peter go wild. That dude's actually super talented.
Yeah, yeah.
He's actually like really, really good. So I would love to see him fuck around with Moxley. They announced some of the matches for this week. I think they're doing a tag team main event. I think it's Kenny and who was it? It was like Hangman Page and Kenny versus Guevara and Chris Jericho, I think, or something like that. They announced some of the matches, yeah. So, I mean, it looks like a pretty good show. It's the first go home show to the pay per view. Like, full year is the first TV pay per view for them.
Oh, yeah, so, that's true.
Yeah, I guess like this is a really big deal this week. So,
and they announced this is the last one of the year. So,
oh, this is they're only doing four pay per views a year.
Yeah, so they did. They made a big statement. This is the final pay per view of the year. Make sure you join in.
Oh, that's all the time I got. So they had Kenny Omega come out as Sans from fucking Undertale. He did this whole like gimmick where he actually like it was pretty well thought out for a Halloween, you know, just a Halloween entrance. He got like an animator to actually animate it. And like he brought up Ibushi and it had Riho and Michael Nakazawa on it and you know, all this stuff. And it's just like, first off, wow, they mentioned, you know, they didn't directly say Ibushi, but like,
yeah,
that was Ibushi with the G1 trophy. So like,
you could tell,
yeah, you know, it is.
It's very obvious.
And even Kenny last night, or I guess shit, this morning on DDT Ultimate Party, he mentioned, you know, he even mentioned New Japan at DDT and stuff. So that was, you know, there obviously feels like there's some sort of Band-Aid being applied to the Bucks and Kenny leaving New Japan and like, because that relationship was pretty screwed up, but there definitely feels like there's a Band-Aid being applied to it, especially with, you know, ROH running like venues with like 30 people. Like New Japan obviously is just, they're done. New Japan's they're done with the ROH thing. They took everything they needed from ROH and then left them in the fucking dust.
Pretty true, yeah. Because
New Japan announced their New Japan of America thing. I would not be surprised. The thing is though, I don't know. We'll have to see if DDT, New Japan, and AEW can play ball all at the same time. If I had to pick one, I mean, if you were to ask most people, they would probably say they want New Japan, but I think that DDT is the better partnership. Just because they have so much more to offer. They have like a bunch of subsidiaries, you know, that like they have Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling where Yuka Sakazaki is and stuff. New Japan doesn't. Well, New Japan has Stardom now, which would be interesting. You know, thinking about like that, actually, I don't know. Both partnerships are pretty lucrative in that sense, you know?
Yeah.
Because Bushiroad owns New Japan and Stardom, while DDT has DDT, TJPW. You know, they have a bunch of different companies underneath their own little thing. But I don't know. I think DDT is probably the one to go with. It was so painfully obvious that Kenny Omega is so far past the DDT shit, though. Like, when he was wrestling last night on Ultimate Party, it was Kenny Omega and Riho versus Antonio Honda and Miyu Yamashita. And it was like, it was so obvious that Kenny just has, he's just old. Kenny has just gotten old, man. That's just the truth of the matter. Like, Kenny is just like so far past like comedy spots and like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Like, Antonio Honda was carrying the shit out of Kenny this entire match. Like, he is so good. Like, he is legitimately like one of the best wrestlers on the planet right now. His comedic timing is just incredible. You can actually watch a lot of his stuff in Gato Move, which you can see on YouTube for free. But yeah, the tag match with Kenny and Riho last night was really, really cool. And it's coming off the heels of fucking Undertale sans fucking right. Kenny Omega, the gamer mode. It's just like, bro, what is this?
Yeah, he's all in on that gamer stuff.
Dude, that got a lot of attention too. My friend at the gym told me, like, he's like, you see this sans thing from Undertale? I'm like, how did you know about this?
It was all over like Kotaku and
yeah,
stuff.
I was like, this isn't like even WWE. You know, that's crazy.
It's working, man. It's working, whatever they're doing.
Big gamer energy, bro. Kenny Omega connects with the gamers out there worldwide.
He does.
He's dripping drip from the gamer sweat.
Not to mention the Young Bucks in their Street Fighter gear. Ooh.
Yeah, they already did that, though.
Yeah, I know.
They're lazy. Well, the Young Bucks are lazy. Kenny said, I'm going to get a whole fucking animation done. I'm going to mention Ibushi. I'm going to get this big mask. I'm going to come out here in this new attire. And the Young Bucks say, yeah, well, we got this. So that's what you're going to get.
Did they just now name them the Hybrid 2? Is that new? Or they've been
that was
hybrid
a few weeks
two?
Ago. They just haven't been on TV since.
Oh, yeah. This makes sense.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure it out because I was like, were they always a hybrid too? I couldn't remember, but.
So they had the tag team tournament thing that they ended up crowning the tag team champions. They had the Rock and Roll Express and they get their ass kicked by Proud and Powerful. The NWA is like, fuck yeah, use the Rock and Roll Express. I'm like, Tony Khan's just like, all right, now beat them up, shoot on them.
Now powerbombing through the freaking stage. That was fantastic.
Beat the hell out of them. What'd you think about SCU beating Lucha Bros?
To be honest, like, I did like a little mock bracket, like thinking who's going to win this whole thing. And I had SCU first rounded. So that was crazy for them to go.
Do you think that SCU was always going to win, or do you think it was supposed to be Jurassic Express, but Luchasaurus getting injured kind of messed it up?
My pick was Dark Order. I thought they were all like Dark Order was their like team.
That was a good pivot, dude, because Dark Order was not over. And it's not that they're not talented, because I fucking love Dark Order. I love, you know, they're sweet, but they are definitely not connecting like they thought they would. So, like, good pivot.
I mean, honestly, if you're going to go for like a team, like, it's either Lucha Brothers or SCU, right? At this point, because they're like established, they can do it, they're like top tier. So, it's like either one is a good choice there. So, I think it was great. But, like, honestly, like, I was like, it's Dark Order. That's the way that it looks like. Like, if it was a WWE.
It would have been Dark Order.
Dark Order, right? Yeah. But it wasn't. So, I was like, it was cool to see it.
What do you
cool
think of the finish, like, though? That was like the
roll
big,
up, the roll up.
Yeah, so like that was a pretty controversial. I thought it was crazy. It was controversial because I thought the finish was hot. I thought it was a good, like, it was a good finish. You know, Lucha Bros.
People saying it's controversial,
dude. I got a lot of tweets there because I tweeted about it. I said, "Damn, that was a cool finish." And I had people tweet me, "Are you serious, bro?" I was like, "All right, not gonna tweet anything else about this." It was because they rolled him up. Kazarian jumped across the ring to stop. I don't remember who they rolled up. It was stop either Phoenix or Pentagon.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that was cool. Like, that was a good finish. It was way better than, like, you know, six Canadian destroyers in a row to do whatever.
SCU had to survive somehow, and that's how they did it. You know, Lucha Brothers, again, as we said, they're like so good.
Yeah, incredibly good.
Like, they're probably the best wrestling tag team that AEW has. So it's like, SCU's got to survive somehow, and a roll-up makes sense. Trying to get that, it's one of those things where you just have to think about it in, like, real life. Like, are you going to try and hit your finisher, or, like, go for a roll-up? Like, when any means necessary, I guess. That's how I see
AEW's it. AEW's in sort of a Pickle Rick right now with that whole situation. where every match has to end with some ridiculous ending sequence. or, you know, people aren't happy with it. You know, like sometimes
Aubrey Edwards on the ref too, so it was gonna get serious here.
You know, sometimes a finish being a finish is just cool. You know, like if you, like just beating him is cool. Like I watch, you know, other promotions I watch where like if the wrestler I want to win, you know, it's weird. I don't know. AEW's audience is different than like, because I feel like a lot of AEW's audience is just like they're just fiending for 5-star matches. They're just fiending for, you know, these long hauls, and it's just like sometimes just like. That's the best way to go. And like, I thought that was a super dope finish. Like the roll, like, because I like the roll up is, or the schoolboy or whatever the hell they did was whatever. Mm-hmm. What was really cool was Kaz literally jumping across the ring to make sure that they don't break it up. I thought that was like the coolest thing ever, is just that visual of Kaz just jumping to try to stop them from breaking that up. That was like super cool to me.
Yeah. And what is a finish? You know, what is a finish?
Well, you know, my finish is done. No snowplow, but well, not what my real finish is. The tag team belt's got a snakeskin leather back to it. Did you see that?
I didn't. That's
yeah,
cool. That's
yeah.
Cool.
I was like, damn, what the hell? They're dripping over here with the snakeskin leather back on it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's cool. This definitely was like not my favorite episode of AEW so far, but like I still really enjoyed it, and I thought they. Got
I saw people on Twitter saying this was like the best they've ever done.
That's good, weird. You know, like fuck, if people are still kicking off and you know ready to go with like that. I mean, it wasn't mine, but like obviously they hit a lot of spots here for a lot of people, and I, you know, with the I think that a lot of people that are AEW's audience don't like I said because AEW's starting to set that precedent for women where like they're not too asked about what's going on with that. So like they're like, yeah, this is the best show ever, but like to me. Like I'm obviously looking for different things from this show than I guess what other people are. So.
Yeah. I mean, it is definitely different, but I'm pretty sure they'll figure out the women's thing and then it'll be like your favorite thing of all time.
Yeah, me too. I mean, at least in the West, I definitely think they bring something. Yeah. I'm just glad they've already done some really cool shit that I like didn't expect them to do, period. Like with the Riho stuff and her being the champion and stuff like that's already stuff I didn't really expect right away. And you know, their division's getting better. So like, I don't know, like, yeah,
we'll see how they build the full gear on the dark. And then they're
it's only been what, like four or five weeks with AEW. Yeah. So like, I'm fucking doing this shit. I'm not there yet, but like, it would be cool for them to put a little more care into it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure we'll see full gear. And then going into next year when they continue to build it up, I'm sure it'll be better, but hopefully they do. Hopefully. Kenny, quit playing video games.
Yeah, get the hell off Apex, you weirdo. WWE this week had a few things.
Before you get to that, I was just reading this, and I was seeing Chris Jericho challenge Tanahashi to Wrestle Kingdom.
He'll be at Wrestle Kingdom this year.
Did I not see that? I just saw
that. He Jericho came back, I mean, he faced Okada. And then afterwards he was like, in the happy championship, bitch. And then Tanahashi came out. He's like, Bakahashi. Said they set up the match for Wrestle Kingdom. So yeah, that's happening this year.
I just saw Jericho knocked out a bunch of Japanese men in Tanahashi wigs.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right. I just thought that was interesting.
There's your big wrestle. Well, there's Wrestle Kingdom this year is 2 days. So
ooh, Wrestle Kingdom 1 and 2. Let's go.
Yeah. That's a lot of stuff going on. This week in WWE, we had a few things. We had NXT on SmackDown. On Raw, we had Raw. And on Crown Jewel, we had Crown Jewel.
On NXT, we had NXT as well. There was an NXT show that happened also.
What happened on that? I didn't watch that.
Oh, let me quick hold on. Results. I watched it, and then I forgot because I was too excited about all the NXT guys showing up on SmackDown with the plane fiasco after Crown Jewel.
The plane, dude. There's some real world ass repercussions if that's like a true thing that I was reading. Like there are some real world repercussions. Like if Vince and like the Saudi Arabian government were like neck and neck over getting paid, and they literally stranded WWE superstars in Saudi Arabia till they figured it out. There's some bullshit that's about to go down, dude.
Yeah, there's, I don't know. It's apparently Brock Lesnar wrestled and got the hell out of there because he's on his own private jet.
The smartest man alive.
I'm getting out of this place. There's no way.
The smartest man alive.
If you didn't notice, apparently Brock Lesnar is not allowed to carry that championship with him. So he had to leave it with WWE in Saudi Arabia. He had to show up on SmackDown with a replica title belt.
That's hot.
He has his tiny ass replica title belt around his waist on SmackDown. Shoot. As Paul Heyman cuts a promo and tells him he quits SmackDown. The draft is messed up already. The brand split is
they
broken.
They actually had Tanahashi carrying around a replica for a while too. When Naito was beating up the belts, they used
throwing them around.
Yeah, they had replica. Tanahashi's like, I painted this with my bare hands. It's just like pictures of Tanahashi painting the belt. He's like, I'll make sure it's good. I'll make sure it's good.
Yeah, that's wild though. That Vince. So the rumor has it that Saudi Arabia owes WWE like $10 million or something from a couple of shows.
I heard it was a ton more than that.
Was it? Okay. Well, they're owed a lot of money,
yep.
Back pay, and Vince is pissed, so he just leaves apparently too. And all the talent is stranded there, and they have nowhere to go.
Yeah, did you read that Vince apparently told Dunn to like cut the shit? He like told him to cut the Saudi Arabian feed on TV or whatever?
Yeah, so they cut the feed on TV, so it's like, holy crap.
There's some real world repercussions, man. Like, these are real fucking people that just got stranded in a company that they are stranded in a place they didn't even want to be in. None of these talent wanted to even go to this. They don't want to do this show. The only person that does is Seth Rollins. So
you see, like, you see everybody like Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, like, and then all the talent's like, we finally made it home.
Yeah, Curtis Axel's like, help. Send for help. I don't want to fucking be here, man. Yeah, Dawkins is fucking there. He's like, man, I do not want to be here. Like, good lord. You had Ali post on Twitter. He's like, he tweeted the whole thing. It took them like 2 days. It was a long time for them to get back.
It was. And then then like the big headline, they finally made it home. It's like, how is this an issue?
This is a headline. The WWE superstars made it home from a WWE show. It's just like, what is this? this is insane. And it's getting like just swept under the rug. Like, no one's talking about it. It's like, this is a big fucking deal. Because the way that they're doing it is like, WWE's trying to sweep it under the rug too. Like Vince and them, they're like telling the superstars to like make videos that like, hey, everything's cool, everything's good, all that. All that.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this is a big fucking deal. If Vince left his superstars in Saudi Arabia and went home and left these dudes there, and they were fucking stranded there because of a fucking disagreement with the Saudi Arabian government, this is fucked. Are you kidding me?
This what's even better about the whole situation is the people that are like, this fucking sucks. There's no way I'm going to Saudi Arabia. Get like rewarded in main event SmackDown then.
Yeah, how is this?
Like Daniel Bryan's like, oh, you're in the main event of SmackDown now because you didn't want to go to Saudi Arabia and you thought it was a bad idea. So you just main event SmackDown. That's fine.
How many more times can WWE have shit like this happen and just people are just like, ah, bah, 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 don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. How many more times can this happen? Dude, good lord, Vince McMahon has done some despicable ass shit for a long time. And it's just like, are we not going to talk about any of it? Like, ever? Like, the fact that this is just like something that they're like, oh, whatever. We got to see Adam Cole on SmackDown, so don't worry about these other, you know, 20 fucking real people that were stranded.
So many people were praising, oh, SmackDown was like the best it ever was. And it's like, do you just realize why we got this SmackDown? Because a million other wrestlers had to die for this shit.
They're stuck in Saudi Arabia. Are you kidding me? This isn't missed their flight. Like, yeah, people were like, oh, they just missed their flight. Like, this is like some.
It was a flight malfunction. It was not a flight malfunction. If it was a flight malfunction, they would have been on another plane home.
Yeah, what is this, man? Like, oh my God. This is like something that I feel like, we're just like, what the fuck is going on?
People are glossing over this. Like, oh yeah, it's fine. They gave us a sweet episode of SmackDown with NXT.
Yeah, we got to see Adam Cole. It's like, oh my God, what the fuck? Are we being serious right now? This is crazy.
If they try to pull out of this if WWE's like, nah, we're getting out of it. Like Saudi Arabia is not going to want to back down on this deal they made, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
So
either.
There's going to be, this is how World War III starts.
The World War III pay-per-view's coming back, baby.
WWE's literally going to start a world war because of Saudi Arabia.
Triple cage match at World War III. Oh, heavens, yes.
And what's even more funny is Donald Trump is president, WWE Hall of Famer. So
he's working them. He's working them now.
Team Trump.
Crazy stuff, man.
This is wild. Like,
it is. It's insanity. It's crazy to think about.
And this is like WWE's golden goose egg or whatever you want to call it, because that's their money maker right now.
Yeah, lots of money. TV deals in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, because they're definitely not making it on their own merit with just putting out their products. So
nah.
These big money deals.
The WWE Network subs even went down. They went down to like 1.2 or something.
That's insane.
They're supposed to be at 2. They have projected 2 million. They're at 1.2. And it keeps going down.
It's because they're not putting on good product.
Put something better on. Put something good on. Can't do that.
These things aren't going to work for them.
Yeah, that's wild. I will say this much. I was actually working during the Crown Jewel thing, but someone on my timeline retweeted the entirety of Brock versus Cain Velasquez on fucking Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, it was only like 2 minutes and 10 seconds or something like that. So like,
yeah, it definitely was.
So it was the entire match. So I was like, oh shit. So I clicked on it real quick. What do you think of that match?
It's nothing that I don't know. There's not much you can say about it. Like, it just is a Brock Lesnar match. So there it is.
I thought it was pretty kick-ass. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... I don't know. It doesn't really... I enjoyed it quite a wrestling. Bit.
I think what people were probably really pissed about was like, did Brock have to be champion to do that? Did Kofi have to drop the title for him to do that? I think is...
Yeah. And again, were you thinking he was going to get like a 5-star, 30-minute classic burner out of that? Like, I don't know.
Like, when Brock and Kane were fighting, it was pretty fucking dope. Like, Kane dropped Brock like a sack of hot rocks. That shit was hot. Like, during that 2 minutes thing, like, he, like, hit him once, and Brock, like, stumbled back and fell down, and he went for the shoot and, like, got on top of him. I'm like, yo, this is kind of dope. Like, this is cool as fuck. And he got him in the Kimura because Kane, like, I thought that was a really well-put-together little match, and, like, it was pretty kick-ass. But I think a lot of people are more upset just because Kofi dropped the title, and I think that the fan expectation right now is that matches have to go X amount of minutes and hit X amount of check marks for it to be a good match. And like, it kind of, it has creatively stifled a lot of wrestling, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I think so. I do enjoy Brock Lesnar matches though. Don't get me wrong. Cause I think anytime he's in there, like it's the most believable match on the card. Like you're all right, somebody's going to die. Brock's going to throw people across the ring. It's going to be awesome. I don't really expect it to go like a 30-minute banger. So I wasn't really like upset with it, so I don't know why people would be like. I guess what you're saying with Kofi and the all of that. I mean, I think the biggest thing to be what it is.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with the WWE main event scene right now is that now while Brock matches in a vacuum are fun and I pretty much enjoy them. I think the issue that came across that is like Brock has changed the main event scene of WWE full stop to where like Seth Rollins is now trying to have Brock Lesnar matches and. He is not Brock Lesnar in any sense of the word. Like main event
true.
Matches
that
in WWE have turned into finisher spam where like they're like, you know, where Brock was doing that for a while. It was like F5, 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 F5. You know what I mean? Like it was just like that. Where then Roman Reigns started doing it where he was like Superman punch, Superman punch, Superman punch, spear, 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 spear. And then Seth Rollins was like, okay, stomp, 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 stomp. So it's just like the main event scene in WWE has definitely gotten worse, but I still think that Brock matches are pretty cool because they're completely different than everything else that is on the show.
Yeah, they definitely are. When you're getting that, you know it's going to be something different.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with you with the finisher fest thing. Like, remember when the curb stomp was like banned because it was causing like brain damage and stuff? And now
never did anything with that either. They just said, yeah, you can have it back or whatever.
He did like this weird like DDT thing for 1 week and then he just took over the pedigree or whatever.
God, he stifled forever because they took that away from him. He just could not figure out what he could do. And they're like, please, all right, just take the fucking thing back. Whatever.
Yeah. And then now it's just like, all right, this doesn't even look like it hurts ever.
Yeah.
Again.
That was rough.
But yeah, I do think that you're seeing that shift where like everyone's trying to be Brock with the finisher spam and stuff. It's like, I don't know.
The main event scene is not great.
I feel like they just don't know the style of their main event scene right now. You know what I mean? They don't really know what their main event scene is for style wise.
But they don't have any style. I mean, like it's all the same style. That's what I'm saying is like, I don't know. NXT's kind of the same way, where like every big NXT match is the same fucking match to me. Like, they're all the same fucking match. They all do the same thing. It's just like,
it's because you think about back in my day, you would have that Intercontinental title match that was like that banger, and you're like, all right, they're going to go 30 minutes. They're going to go 30 minutes. Now it's like, everybody's like, I'm going to put on the greatest match I've ever had in my entire life on NXT episode number 312. It's going to be fantastic. And Dave Meltzer's going to give me 10 stars.
Dave,
and
are you watching? Get over. You watching, Dave? I did the face thing you like.
I'm going to get over, and then Twitter's going to tweet about me, and I'm going to retweet it. Oh, I'm going to be trending. It's like, just go out there and put on a good match. You don't need to.
Speaking of good matches, I told you about Gato Move the other week.
Yeah.
Oh my God. A new match of the year contender happened, Tony, within the past week. I know, it's insanity. So Lulu Pencil, I told you about her, right?
Yeah.
Now I just told you about Antonio Honda also.
Right.
It was Lulu Pencil versus Antonio Honda, dude. And it was maybe one of the best matches I've ever seen. It's definitely on my match of the year list right now. It was that good, dude. Oh my God. I don't want to spoil it for you. It's a very good like 10 minute match or something. The finish was just, it blew my mind. I was like, wow, this is maybe the best.
We're gonna have to have like a new segment every week, like Pulse's recommendation of like
Pulse's new match of the year from Lulu Pencil.
Check this match out. Yeah. Check it out.
You can go on YouTube. You can look it up on YouTube. Lulu Pencil versus Antonio Honda. It is, wow. It was fucking just so good. I'll tell you one spot that I really enjoyed. So Antonio Honda stopped the match to tell a story. Lulu Pencil is a freelance writer. She enjoys stories. So she sat down as he told the story. And then, of course, the story is just trying to distract her so he can hit her. So he goes to hit her after, you know, at the end of the story. And she pulls the chair up and it hits the chair instead, because Lulu Pencil writes stories for a living. She knew he was trying to stop her. Dude, it was so, oh my God, was so good. It's such a fantastic match.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
Yeah. Just Gato Move is creatively unstoppable in the past year. It's just been, goddamn, they just have such a great roster of people. And most of them are like rookies, dude. Like, most of them started wrestling just recently. It's just like, they get it. Like, Amy Sakura is just like one of the best teachers in the history of professional wrestling. She's just like, I'm gonna take this new crop of talent and they're all gonna be just the best ever. And it's really cool to see, which is why I'm saying with AEW, like, just get Amy Sakura to go up there, have her teach Britt Baker some things.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Just have her teach her how to tell a story. It's just like, dude, it's so good. Speaking of more Joshi stuff, Becky Lynch and Kairi Sane on Raw was pretty cool. I saw that.
Yeah, I didn't catch that one.
It was pretty good. I mean, other than Becky Lynch and her absolutely terrible guillotine leg drop, maybe the worst ever. She doesn't jump. She just falls.
Yeah, that, I hate that leg drop.
It's so bad. I was thinking about, I'm like, is there anyone I've ever seen in the history of time that does a worse guillotine leg drop than Becky Lynch? And I can't think of one single person. I was looking back at old WWF matches like Matt Hardy versus Eso Rios and stuff. I'm like, Matt Hardy used to jump like 45 feet in the fucking air and come down with that leg drop. And it's like, Becky Lynch is like, ooh, I'm going to fall. That's what she does. That's what she says before she does it. She goes to the top rope for the guillotine leg drop and she goes, and a ooh. And she just slips.
I thought you were talking about that one that she does in the ring. Where she
That's bad. But I'm talking about her. I'm talking about off the rope guillotine leg drop. Where she just kind of goes,
Yeah.
It just falls. Dude, it's bad. It's so bad. I wish you would take that out of her. If you're not going to do it right, just don't fucking do it at all.
Right.
But it was really cool. They had some really great, like, Joshi-inspired spots. Like, Kairi brought out the bow and arrow, which is like a fucking... It's like in Fire Pro when you do the Boston Crab. That's what the bow and arrow is to Joshi wrestling. So, like, Kairi breaking out the bow and arrow was really cool. Becky did, like, the Joshi kick out where, like, they go for two but don't hook the leg. And then Becky, like... Her flexibility, she gets up from the ground and like, not like kip up, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The Matrix. The
yeah. It's like that's a big Joshi kick out. The problem was, it still felt a lot like a WWE match, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, of course.
which is why I don't get too excited to see like a lot of stuff like this. Like I tuned in, like I was watching Beyond Wrestling and this at the same time. So I was going, or no, it wasn't Beyond. It was GCW because Jimmy Lloyd's Fright Fest was on at the same time. So I was switching back and forth between Becky Lynch and Kairi Sane and GCW. And, you know, I was paying attention to the Raw thing, but I mean, I would be lying if I said I wasn't paying more attention to what was happening on GCW, because they were still, it was like a two seg match with Zane and Lynch, but it was just like, it still feels like it's, I don't know. It feels like it's there. It feels like they're performing the stuff through like water. Like it's like they're trying to, it's just like there's goo in between each spot. If them, it's really difficult for me to explain why I just, I don't know. Like it almost feels like everything's too manufactured in a sense, I guess.
Yeah, it's the WWE filter that they put
on.
Yeah.
Like everything's just like trotting through sand. And it's like, watching the stuff that I watch, they're walking on concrete, but it's just like trying to watch, like you could throw Kairi Sane and Io Shirai against each other on Raw. And like, it won't, whatever it is, won't be as good as,
right.
You know,
it's just that WWE manufactured. It's probably how they agent their matches, to be honest.
Yeah. It works for WWE because that's what people have come to expect, and that's fine. But anyone else that like this isn't their main show or they watch other things along with it, it's just like completely obvious that like they're, like I said, trotting through sand almost to get to the end point.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, well, we got a commercial break, so do the double down, then you get back up and you'll be in a submission move when you come back from commercial break, and then it's like
it's like something gets caught in that filter and it's just, they just stay there. And then don't get me wrong, I enjoyed the match. It was cool. But it, like a lot of people were like, this is going to be match of the year. You want match of the year, you go watch Lulu Pencil versus Antonio Honda. I don't make the rules, man. I'm just telling you how it is.
That's how I feel about, Adam Cole, Daniel Bryan as well. I'm like, if this was like ROH back in the day or something, you know, I'd be like, oh, this is insane. But it's like SmackDown.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny that like the Canadian Destroyer is just like a, it very quickly did not become a finish in the WWE when I very much assumed that it would be when they debuted it. I thought that would be like the ultimate fucking, like if he did Panama Sunrise, that's it. He used Panama Sunrise to, set up a knee. I was like, okay, so that's what we're doing. That's cool. All right, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, like, it was just funny. I saw that. But I watched the Bryan and Cole match, and yeah, like I was like, all I could think about while I was watching is like, Daniel Bryan is too good to be doing this shit right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he is too good to be just, I don't think there's much left for him in WWE other than what he's currently doing, which is just putting people over.
Yeah, he's currently trying to just put like everybody over, like with Ali and Kofi and like all that stuff.
And that's
he's
good. Trying, I mean, that's fucking sweet right that he does that, and that's fine. But it's the same sense with Sami Zayn, where it's like, you know, there's only they only have so many more bumps on their bump card, and like they're getting older, and like, you know, God damn it, I want Daniel Bryan somewhere else, Tony. I want it somewhere else so bad. Like every time I see him wrestle in the WWE, I'm like, oh my God, why are you still here? Like I feel
same with Sami Zayn as well.
No, I agree. I think Sami, like the whole thing, it just makes me sad whenever I see it. Like I always. Like Daniel Bryan he made the best he could out of the new Daniel Bryan with the Planet Champion and you know Eric Rowan, but they obviously had no long term plan with that whatsoever, and like they just ditched it, you know, randomly to let Eric Rowan get caught under a fucking forklift, and it's just like okay, whatever. You could have ran this all the way through WrestleMania and it would have been dope.
Yeah, for sure.
But like Daniel Bryan, like oh my God, I'm just every time I think about it, I'm like Daniel Bryan and Gato Move. Fucking wrestling like a bear. You remember when he was talking about that? Like, I'm gonna come back to wrestling. I'm gonna wrestle like a fucking bear. I'm gonna be on all fours and I'm gonna be like pawing at people and I'm gonna be like getting them down to submissions and stuff. And
he did the bear stuff backstage, didn't he? At one point, he was like,
"Yeah, he did." He did bear. In a match. He did the bear thing. It's just like, dude, this is really, really sweet. So like, that's all I'm thinking about. I was like, man, imagine how creative that would be to like just see him wrestling.
Imagine
with
if like. Remember, didn't he like say, all right, I'm going to Ring of Honor or whatever, or I'm going to New Japan, and they're like, all right, you're cleared.
yeah, that was what it was. He's like, yeah, I think I might want to wrestle in New Japan this year. They said, oh, well, that's good. You can come back now.
You're cleared to wrestle now. Yeah,
that's exactly what happened.
We'll give you the belt for a while.
Because Daniel Bryan somewhere else would be, oh my God, that would be just incredible. Like, can you imagine him like doing the G1 or like,
At this point, he's finished up every goal he had in WWE, I'm sure.
Yeah, what else is there to do? You know what I mean? He's just trotting out a contract at this point. Like, I guess, like, he's ultimate, he's in dad mode, maybe.
I wonder how long his contract is, because he could just have, like, a final retirement year where he just goes everywhere.
That's what, dude, oh my God. That's what I want. I don't want him to sign to New Japan. I don't want him to sign anywhere. I want him to be a freelancer and just go do everything.
He'll show up the bingo halls and do matches.
Do everything. I have so many things I want to see Daniel Bryan do, and it's just like, it's not whatever this is. It's not
the most fun in wrestling. Like, the entire year of watching Daniel Bryan do like the bucket list would be fantastic.
He's so good right now. And like, don't get me wrong, this match was good. I you know, Cole versus Bryan was all right. It's just like, whenever I see a match like this and I see Daniel Bryan trying and trying so hard, I'm like, oh my God, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's all I could think of. I was like, oh no, man, you could be doing this anywhere in the world and just be so much better.
Right. Yeah. You can awesome. Tell at one point he did not want to be in WWE. He's like, SmackDown's all about fisting. Remember?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. He definitely.
You can tell he didn't want to be there.
No, I mean, he definitely plays with the, he plays with the shit. He plays, it's funny. I like it. He has so much to offer.
I would love to see like a full year of him go hard on like, all right, this is my bucket list before I retire. This is what I want to do. Let's do it.
And it's like, I don't want him to sign with New Japan, because like, I think there's a few things I would like to see him do in New Japan, but I don't want to see that stop him from doing anything else. Like I said, I have other places I like to see him. Like fucking Daniel Bryan and DDT would be amazing, just because he is so comedically gifted, and he doesn't even realize, you know what I mean? He doesn't even try, man. And he's funny. He's just a funny dude. He's just a relatable, funny guy, just without even trying. DDT would be amazing. Him and Gato Move would be incredible. Like, doing AEW stuff would be fun. New Japan.
If you could get like a Jericho New Japan Tribe contract, you know, where he's doing whatever the dates he has or whatever, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Just having him go out and dude, it's just so much I want Daniel Bryan to do. So much.
Be fantastic.
And like I said, while the Cole thing was cool, I got other plans for Daniel Bryan.
It's just kind of a thing again through the WWE filter. It's like, yeah, this is great. But
and it's not that they're bad. I mean, even Daniel Bryan through the filter is better than most people through the filter, if that
right.
makes sense. Just because Daniel Bryan does whatever the fuck Daniel Bryan wants to do. But it's just like, go do that somewhere else.
Right.
I mean, speaking of Adam Cole, NXT invaded SmackDown this week, which was obviously just, here's the thing. A lot of people think it's just because of the Saudi Arabia thing, but like, Survivor Series had already been announced with NXT. I think it was probably going to happen either way.
They announced it at Crown Jewel
and what was
NXT
funny,
was involved.
All right. So Triple H trots out all the fucking NXT people, right? He trots them all out, all his favorite people in NXT. Like, he's fucking Miss Frizzle and he's got the magic school bus and he's 5'5" white
dude. The
NXT
magic school bus.
Yeah. The tallest person in the ring is like Triple H.
Give Triple H a lizard on his shoulder or whatever.
Yeah. He's got his whole gang of children. He's like, oh, we're taking over. It's like, oh, sweet. So this will last for about 3 weeks. Survivor Series over. You guys can go back
to magic school bus.
Little mountain. It's great because WWE has somehow kayfabed their own creative, which is insanity, by the way. They somehow kayfabed their own creative to where everything that's good is Triple H and everything that's bad is Vince McMahon.
That's true.
Which is hilarious because they're both the same fucking devil. They're both the same devil. Vince wrote this show. Are you kidding me? Like, Triple H was just there and just picked his dudes. Just like when they did the tag team matches. Before, remember when they called up like DIY and Aleister Black?
Yeah.
And dude, it was reported that Vince wrote the show. Like, they're all the same fucking devil. Triple H is not like the savior of wrestling that people make him out to be. Like, he is like the same devil as
Vince. It's his WWE character, and I don't think people understand that. Like,
they kayfabe their own creative process. This is insanity. That's crazy. Oh my God. It was just like, just watching Triple H come out and just like, it's just like, as people eat this up on Twitter. Yeah, Triple H! Triple H! It's like, oh my God.
You should just let Triple H write Raw from now on.
Yeah, like,
no,
oh my
don't.
God. Like, this,
Triple H
this
did not write this.
But I mean, like, it there was a lot of cool stuff. I mean, like there was it was fun because it was different than whatever else had been on TV forever. You know, mm-hmm. like it was fun. It was cool because it honestly, they could have invaded with anybody and it would have been cool just because it was something different than whatever has been right. happening on TV. I feel like WWE falls into that rut where like they're trying to, they just do the same thing over and over and over again. And everything starts getting in a bubble and like, and they could have invaded with literally anybody, you know. Doink the Clown could have fucking came in and invaded.
Yeah.
And
Triple H is a savior.
Yeah, Triple H. Just because like it's something different than like a one-on-one match for 8 minutes where they keep their heat afterwards, which is like what happens every fucking week on WWE TV. So I mean, I think this was a success. I think NXT coming through was a big success. I think Survivor Series will be fun depending on how they end up deciding to book it. But like obviously this is not like a long, you know what I mean? Like they're just gonna, after Survivor Series, they're just gonna go back to NXT and then like the boys are just gonna,
yeah,
stay.
It's probably a nice little thing in the contract of like USA, all right, we'll sign NXT, but you got to put us over on SmackDown once.
Yeah you know how it's gonna work, you know how all this shit's gonna work. I mean, like anyone that's been around the block for a while understands how that works and all that kind of stuff, you know.
But it's cool to get them over, and it's cool to see Ciampa and, you know, see Rhea Ripley, Tegan Knox, and all that. That was cool.
Yeah, I guess Dakota Kai got injured again because she wasn't up there, unless she was stuck in Saudi Arabia, but I doubt it.
I don't know what's going on, dude. It's crazy. She,
like, going to have the double knees like Tegan Knox. Tegan Knox got the stone cold knees. She out there trying to wrestle. She got the knees. That's crazy.
It's because of that walk that she's doing, Dakota Kai.
Rhea Ripley should be the fucking world champion. She's like 7 foot tall. Ripped, right. She looks like Triple H in 2000. H, yeah. She looks like Triple H in 2000. Like she goes, she should get the my time. Yo, what, Jimmy, hit me with some of that Rhea shit.
Hit me with that Triple H.
Keep your finger off the switch, nun. Yeah, that would be
who's
hot.
Sleeping with who?
That's what it should be. That's what they need to do is give Rhea Ripley my time. Then she'll really be kicking ass. She's got the she's got the Suicide Silence theme song. I didn't see her do her entrance. Did she have an entrance, or did she just come through the crowd? Or
I don't know. I didn't see that.
I just saw the part where she was in the ring and she was wrestling, and like she, you know, she does that fucking submission where she just picks them up. She just picks them up. Oh,
break
them
in half.
Yeah, yeah.
Like with the Brock lock back in the day, that was fantastic.
Yeah, because he would only do it to small dudes. So like it'd be like Zach Gowen, and he'd be like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he used to throw Zach Gowen around. That was the best.
The Brock lock on Zach Gowen, it just looks like he's just dying. That's what Rhea Ripley does. She just picked, like, she is easily, like, the biggest person in that division right now. So it's just like, wow, it's crazy, just nuts. So, I mean, there was some plus sides to WWE TV this week. You know, like I said, the Becky Lynch and Kyrie Zane thing.
They teased Shawn Michaels wrestling Daniel Bryan, which is kind of funny.
Did this happen this week or last week where Bobby Lash or where Rusev and Lana did their thing, and like Lana was like, "You're a sex addict." Oh, yeah, that was this week.
That was Monday. There was wrestling
going
on.
That was,
wow. About that.
Oh my god, I was about to say I can't remember if it happened this week or the week before that. I didn't know if we already talked about it or not.
Dude, that's a thing. There's so much going on.
This was
WWE
the best thing. This was the best thing, Tony. You are a sex addict. Yeah. You want to have a kid? Yeah. Like that was the greatest segment in the history of time.
Like I tweeted this out. I'm like, so he wants to have sex with his wife and give her a baby, and he's a bad guy.
He is the worst. You want to have a family, you little bitch? Yeah? Well, too bad. I'm getting long dicked by Bobby. Oh, man. Yeah. That's good stuff.
That was dick.
Was the best.
Is that really?
Okay, so here's the thing. They announced divorce court. I thought that they were going to get Lynn Toler from the Divorce Court TV show, and I thought they were going to actually go off, and I don't know why I thought they were going to put any more than the bare minimum into
this. Just chill. They're not going
to. Obviously, they're not going to. I don't know why I got hyped up in my head.
They had
an
invite from, who was it?
Mari.
Mari, yeah. They had an invite from Mari.
They failed again. This is the second time they could have done the Mari thing, Tony, in like the last 5 years.
Jerry Springer is a WWE faithful. Why don't you get Derry Springer to do this? Like,
cannot put more than the bare minimum into things. They said, you know what, divorce court, and by divorce court we mean hang out with Jerry Lawler for 15 minutes before the end of the show.
Maybe it was like a big inside joke. Jerry Lawler's been divorced so many times, he could be a divorce court guy. That's like Vince's inside.
Yeah, Vince. This is very funny.
It's funny because he's been divorced so many times.
You get it? You get it? You guys get it? Yeah, Vince, whatever. Put it on TV.
And it's King's Court. You get it? Oh, my God. It makes
so
much
sense.
Well,
thankfully, it was saved by just the most ridiculous dialogue I've ever heard in my life. You are a sex addict. That's why I left, to go have sex with Bobby Lashley.
Rusev wants to have sex in the morning. He wants to have sex in the locker room. Yeah, sex like, backstage. Sex it, everywhere.
So this like, story the storyline is weird because she left Rusev because she wanted to. She didn't want to have sex so much, so she left to go have sex with Bobby Lashley all the time. What the fuck do you mean?
Why did she just needs to come out and say you have a tiny penis.
Yeah, that's where it's going to go. They can. You're telling you think that WWE can run a storyline where they don't talk about tiny penises? Absolutely not.
That's where it's going. You have a okay. Let's get real. You have a tiny penis.
That's I was it. Surprised they didn't go there right from the beginning. I thought that's where they're going to go. Divorce court. Your penis is tiny. What do you mean? It's perfectly adequate. That's the way they went. That's where they went with it. Was you are a sex addict. I'm going to go have sex with somebody else instead. It's just like, either way, you're having sex. Like, what the fuck? Like, either way, you're getting fucked down by somebody.
Yeah, but the thing is, Rusev wants kids, and that's where she draws the line.
Watch, I guarantee Bobby Lashley impregnates her. I know that shit's going to happen.
Oh, my gosh.
I know that's going to happen.
No, that's going to be in your wildest fantasy. That would never... WWE ain't that smart.
I guarantee that's where they go.
That's big brain move right there. That's 600 IQ. That.
Yeah, she doesn't want to get pregnant from Rusev, so Bobby Lashley fucking gives her a kid. Oh,
yeah, right.
My
it's going to turn out like Mike Kanellis will make a return and like...
They could intertwine all these cuck storylines. Yeah, they could intertwine all of them.
Lana's pregnant from Mike. Did Maria
Mike.
Just disappear now or what is happening? I haven't paid attention.
I don't know. Who cares? Oh, yeah. What's his name? Mike Bennett asked for his release. So they probably got taken off TV.
Or he got 7 more years onto.
Oh, I know
Luke
that.
Harper's
no, I mean, but he definitely got taken off TV for it too.
Okay.
But yeah,
Luke Harper's there for life now because he asked for his release.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, Luke, you can come back with Eric Rowan or whatever. Nah, just kidding. Sit your ass back home. That's exactly what they did to Mike Bennett. It's like, yeah, you can be a cuck on TV and sit your ass back home. That's crazy, dude. The whole, well, I mean, like, how many more? We need more cuck shit. Like, they have to make like a cuck universe. Like, that's what it is. It's just like a whole intertwined story between everyone having sex with each other. Because I know that's what happens in this WWE shit. I know these dudes are fucking each other left and right.
Do you remember back in the day they tried to do Shane and Stephanie have a storyline together, and that never worked out. So,
well, Vince wanted to have sex with her too. I'll never forget that. The pitch for Vince was like,
"Yeah,
incest
is
pretty over right now, brother." Yeah, go for it, dude. Yeah, fuck Stephanie.
No, does he go to like the top search terms and like figure out what he's gonna book for this week or what?
Yeah, I love the idea that Vince has never watched porn a day in his life. So all of Vince's storyline ideas come from shit that people tell him. Vince is so disconnected that he's never watched porn once. So
you don't watch the other product.
Yeah, someone's like, "Oh, did you know about this cucking shit?" And he's like, "Whoa, cucking? What? That sounds sweet. What is that?" He's like, "Oh, this is cucking. Holy, we're doing that.
Let's do that 10 times in a row."
That's exactly what happens. And I was like, "Damn, this is hot. Yeah, that's hot goose stuff right now."
I wonder if writers are like, "All right, we can't get our storylines through. Let's just come up with this cucking. All right, that gets through every time. Let's do another."
So what's cucking? Well, it's like sex, but like someone else has sex, and he's like, "Wow, that sounds hot. Let's do that. That's some good stuff." So they've run like 40 cucking storylines. I'm just like, they have to intertwine at some point. Like Mike Bennett and Maria, they have to like acknowledge each other. Someone has to acknowledge it.
There is a cuck universe somewhere where all this is going to come back. At WrestleMania, they're going to have cuckamania.
Cuckamania run wild. Wubba lubba dub dub. Shit. Pickle Rick.
King's Court. Let's go.
Well, then they threw in that, you know, they did throw that wrench in where it's like, "Well, you want to have a kid? Well, Bobby Lashley's going to impregnate you now. My man's going to get himself a little kid. He's going to be a motherfucker running around there. Bob Jr."
And then she's going to drop him. He's going to drop her right when she has a kid. It's going
to
happen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She's going to run back to Rusev. And then, yeah, yeah, absolutely, for sure.
You finally have a kid. And then the kid's going to grow up in like 30 years.
They're
going to
be
a wrestler.
Have wife swap with Maria and Lana.
That's next, dude.
Dude,
that's
someone's
got
to tell Vince. He's like, "Vince, there's this other kink that's like wife swapping." He's like, "Whoa." Yeah.
Except it's going to be like hosted by Corey Graves.
Oh God, no! Get this dude out of here.
Wife swap it. Oh,
wife
my God.
Swap. That's definitely next. That's up on the list. So like, they had the kid. The wife swap comes next. The big payoff is like they all just fuck. It's just a big orgy. They're like, "Oh, let's just do this." Someone tells Vince about orgies. He's like, "Whoa, multiple cocks. That's hot. That's hot."
And then he comes out. Shorty G's in the mix, and he's like, Shorty G's bigger than Rusev.
Oh, Shorty G's guy. Oh, he ain't short. Nah, hell nah. They're just waiting to make that one. Yeah, he's short, all right, but he ain't got a short package. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Also, this week, if you didn't catch, WWE started their podcast. WWE got in the podcast.
Well, and that's all the time
game.
We got because I ain't fucking talking about this shit.
You heard it. You heard Seth Rollins talking about. I
don't want to talk about Seth Rollins anymore. I don't want to.
Okay, he doesn't get. Okay, can we just say how dumb he is?
Yeah, Seth Rollins is like legit 45 IQ, and it's actually insane.
He is dumber than a boxer.
Why am I still getting hate?
He is. This is bullshit.
Seth Rollins literally went on his podcast. Why am I still getting hate? Because Seth.
He's a living Keemstar meme, dude. He doesn't get it.
Seth, because you were a complete dickhead for 9 months. You kidding me? You're attacking people that weren't even in the company, bro. Like, are you
Seth Rollins, you said Alex, okay? We all know what you said. Why don't you chill?
Seth Rollins would have been like, I'm surprised Seth Rollins didn't tweet, I empty the tank to stay in Saudi Arabia. I don't give a
fuck. For Saudi
Arabia. I enjoy Saudi Arabia. It's good here.
I'm so fucking sick of all these dudes. With the Crown Prince. Yeah.
Me and the Crown Prince are about to go empty the tank. I emptied the tank
in the WWE jet coming home.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about Seth anymore. This guy's legit 45 IQ. I got nothing left to say about this
Let's
guy.
Let's just clue everyone in. So Seth Rollins on this podcast, he comes out and he's like, yeah, people used to cheer for me like a year ago. I don't know what happened. People are dumb. I'm still the same person. I became the person that everybody wanted me to be. I don't understand why people hate me.
Am I still getting hate? He legitimately said that WWE fans are just fickle and that he did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong. Why am I still getting hate?
He doesn't understand.
Seth literally tweeted some bullshit
shit
last
on Twitter.
Week.
People gonna hate you.
Yeah, like
he doesn't
Seth,
get
just
that.
Shut the hell up and you'd be okay. Like, what is your... Yeah, you come out like, oh, Hulk Hogan, brother, Hulk Hogan. I die for Saudi Arabia. Yo, I'm out of here,
I'm better
bro.
Than Kenny Omega.
45, legit 45 IQ. I got no let to say, man. just shut up and wrestle. Like, legitimately shut up and just wrestle, dog. Good lord.
Also on that podcast, Triple H says that the reason they needed 2 hours is so they could do more debuts. Now, I don't understand what that means. He said you could have a good 1 hour show, but you can't do debuts in an hour.
They did do debuts in an hour.
I don't get it. That's what he literally was like.
No, I heard
about
that too.
Debuts.
But and have you like, also heard understand. That they are literally signing so many people that they can't keep up with it, and they have to like build on to the PC because they legitimately can't hold this many people?
Yeah.
They have
exactly.
like 300 people signed, and they use maybe 25 to 30 people on a weekly basis.
They still haven't even got NXT Japan going.
They never will.
They will they ever? I don't know.
They're going to get Sendai girls, and WWE was going after Big Japan. That's a deathmatch promotion. What the fuck are they going to do with Big Japan?
They just heard the name Japan.
Right. Oh, shit, they're big? Okay.
They must be number one.
Yeah, what are y'all, like, this is a deathmatch promotion with light tubes. Like, what are they going to do with NXT Japan with Big Japan Pro Wrestling?
Johnny Gargano's going to go do death matches in Japan, dude. It's going to be fantastic.
What the hell is this? What is,
NXT
they don't even
Japan
know what this
live.
They're like, get a bunch Japan of Japanese people face against Johnny Gargano. Oh, God, it's awful.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Because you know they just like throw half their talent, like Cassie Sono's in the UK now. So they're just going to throw some regular people over there in NXT Japan. All right, we're good. Let's go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I already knew that shit was going to happen.
We didn't even talk about Jordan Miles. Do we want to hit on this stuff at all?
Jordan Miles? Yeah, I mean, racism exists in WWE and has existed for hundreds of years. It, like, are you kidding me? Like, I could not believe that people were like, the one thing is like he Uncle Tom Jay Lethal and like people like that gave people who disagreed with him the ultimate out for this whole thing.
Yeah,
like,
right.
There was no out for this because like WWE has legitimately been racist for like 70, 75, 80 years. They were built on racism. And like everyone knows this. Everybody, all the people ever like knows this. But like when he Uncle Tom Jay Lethal, that gave everyone an out for them to go, oh, shut the fuck up. Shut up. Like the Jay Lethal thing, like that was it. I mean, he obviously had merit in this conversation. Like, even if you want to take the blackface t-shirt and like push it to the right, there's racism straight out period all the time anyways. Like,
Yes, this shit.
Even if the shirt didn't come out.
Yeah, even if the shirt, like, that's what a lot of people were, like, sticking to, and that happened to the Black Lives Matter movement, too. A lot of people would stick to the very minute detail about something. Like, they would make it purely about the t-shirt, or make it purely about Jay Lethal. And it's like, there's an overall message here that you're missing, and it's that this company has had systematic racism since its fucking inception. Right?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
People seem to miss a lot of that. Like, I was reading a lot of the responses and stuff, and like, and people were like, he did it to further his own career. Is that a joke? Do you think that
like
Jordan
Miles' career?
Yeah, do you think that Jordan Miles going on Twitter and outing the company that he works for as racist bigots is going to politic him into some different position? Are you kidding me? Like, that's, I was just like, wow, that is the biggest stretch I've ever seen.
I just figured they would never be seen ever again in my entire life. I'd never see ACH ever again.
Yeah, like, the fact that you can cherry pick black wrestlers in WWE is like a pretty good sign. You don't have to cherry pick white wrestlers because you can literally pick anyone over 80 years. But the fact that you even have the ability in a conversation about racism to cherry pick black wrestlers goes to show that there is an underlying issue. You shouldn't have to cherry pick. There shouldn't have to be like, oh, well, Kofi Kingston just had an 8-month reign. It's like, oh, does that make up for 80 years of systematic racism or something? Is that what that means? Because it doesn't. And it's just like that whole conversation with Jordan Miles was just, that shit must have been just the worst for him reading through that shit. Just awful.
Oof, I feel like we got a little heated. Like, there was a lot of BS to unpack this week.
Yeah. The amount of BS is too much. Try not to get super serious, but sometimes things need to get you super serious. You know what I mean? I think that's a good place to stop this one for this week. We covered pretty much everything happening in the wrestling world.
NXT wubble up a dub dub.
We'll be back next week. Of course, we have Full Gear coming up, so we're going to be talking about Full Gear. Survivor Series soon after that. We got a lot of pay-per-view stuff coming up, which is nice. I feel like there's been a pay-per-view drought recently, so getting back on track with stuff like that. Go home show for AEW, which is a big deal because it's the very first one TV going into a pay-per-view. So we'll see how they decide to do things. I hope they do it like the movie used to do, where they bring everybody in the ring and they all hit finishers on each other. That's the only way that I'll accept
it. Insane. Yeah. Everybody's out there, and then Cody just comes out and hits his finish like 1,000 times on all the Inner Circle. Let's do it.
Yep, and then he loses. Sorry, little man. Sammy Guevara's got to go do Bang Bros videos.
They will go 60 minutes. There will be three judges. Yeah, so we will get it. There must be a pin.
There must be a winner. Yeah, oh, God.
The match cannot be stopped for any reason.
Awful. All right, guys. Thank you guys once again. If you guys want to head over to Apple, leave us a 5-star rating and review. We would really, really appreciate it. Of course, check out the shop stuff, all that good gimmick stuff. And
a new Texas Deathmatch t-shirt on sale, pre-order right now today. Go get it.
And that's it for Deadlock this week. So we'll catch you guys next time on the next episode of the Deadlock Podcast.